on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. We are in early May, which means things are winding down for the University of South Dakota, but still some things going on. Men's golf team just wrapped up the Summit League Championships. They surged up to third place as a team. Had a really nice final round at minus 11 as a team. Max Schmidtke with a bogey-free effort in his final round as a Coyote at the Summit League Championships. And a really excellent round. Him and Jack Holes ended up tied for sixth place individually. And so those two finishing up very strong at the Summit League Championships. It was announced this week that the Tailgate Nation for football is going to expand. Some spots are available, 26 of them. For more information on all of that, go to goyotes.com, and you can check out how you can get a spot in Tailgate Nation if that's something that you're interested in. So they created some more space, and hopefully we can continue to get that rocking in the fall. Great to have you for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. Coming up in this show, we are going to talk women's basketball. The rebuild has been in full force, and so we'll talk about that as well. But coming up here at the end of the week and over the weekend, it's the final home games for softball. So we catch up with Riley Jones and talk to her about the final home games for Coyote softball as they get ready for the Summit League tournament as well. So great conversations. Excited to share them with you. Let's get it started with softball's Riley Jones.
Riley, the season just flies by, I'm sure, for you in the career that you've had in a couple of years at USD. When you look at this season, I mean, you go back to like February or really before that when you start grinding for the season, does it ever occur to you how fast the season's gonna go, or does it get tended towards the end and you start to realize it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year and you're like, wow, I can't imagine being on spring break and playing all those games. And then all of a sudden you're at spring break and you're like, wow, I never thought this would happen. And then conference starts and now we're at the final three games. So it's a long grind looking at it from the beginning, but then when you hit that moment, you're like, how did we get here? That happened so fast.
Not only the spring break, but you guys spend so much time on the road early in the season. We don't have the best weather for softball, if you noticed, for outdoor softball. But you guys spend a lot of time on the road. How difficult is the early part of the season? Obviously, you want to play the games, but it's a lot of travel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we travel literally every weekend until we start at home here in March. And we travel on Thursday mornings and don't get back till sometimes 3 a.m. on Monday and then have to go to class. So it's definitely a grind and can get really monotonous and overwhelming. But I think that's a fun part also being South Dakota is getting to travel and getting to play places that maybe you wouldn't if you live somewhere warm. So,
how do you keep yourself focused with all the travel? Obviously, you still have schoolwork to complete and all of that, and I'm sure plenty of missed class time, some of that. How do you try to stay locked in with everything going on?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a time management piece that I think can benefit us after softball and in the real world, too. So looking at it from that perspective, but also our professors are super accommodating and work with us very well. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely hard, but I don't think it's as hard as I would have thought coming in. Like, it's definitely very manageable if you just get things done right away. And with USD, they make it easier than it can be.
Finishing your career at USD, softball career, why USD? Why was that step important for you in your softball career?
Yeah, I mean, I came from USF and Coach Piv was my coach there, and we would come our fall game, we would play a D1 and it was USD. So we would always come here in the fall and I'm like, wow, this is a cool spot. And my best friend Campbell from high school is on the soccer team here actually. So I always knew about USD and knew it was like a great school. And, you know, once things took a turn at USF, I also another background, my brother, his fiance actually played here years ago. So there's a little bit of history here. And she was like, I think you'd love it there. And I was like, you know what? What's the harm in reaching out? So I reached out to Coach Wags and came on a visit, and it kind of just fell into place. And then Piv ended up here, and I don't know, things just kind of worked out and it seemed like it was meant to be. And I love it here. Yeah, it's great.
As someone who's experienced Division II and Division I, what are the differences? I mean, it's still the game, right? It's still softball, but what are the noticeable differences for you?
Yeah, I mean, the stadiums we play at are insane. Like last year, we got to go to University of Georgia and University of Tennessee, which that's SEC ball. That's the best it can get. So that's insane. I've never played on fields like that ever. And I think just like the level of play, like you're not going to scrap by a win, even if it could be a team that's won 3 games all season in D1, but it's still a battle at every point. And I think that's a big difference in D1 to D2. It's just every game's going to be close. Every game's a battle comparatively. Yeah.
You've definitely had a lot of battles this season. And I know the season has been a bit of a roller coaster. You guys have had a lot of success and you've had some games that just got away for one reason or another. When you look at this team, why does it continue to fight the way that it does and try to put itself in the best position?
Yeah, I think that at the beginning of the season, we knew and we talked a lot that we're going to have a lot of close games. And we had a ton of one-run games last year that just didn't go our way. And, I mean, it seems that we're in a spot like that again this year where it's just a lot of one-run games and a lot of battles. And I think the Summit League, it's very even throughout the league. So every game's going to be a battle. Anyone can beat anyone. So I think that's just the mindset and preparation we know is we can't walk in knowing we'll beat anyone and anyone can beat us. So I think just knowing that every game's going to be a dogfight here.
I believe you lead the team in hit by pitch.
I do.
Do you try to get in the way of those things?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. But that's funny because everyone's like, I've never seen somebody get beat up so much. Like even at practice, I swear the ball will just find me. And yeah, I don't know, something's bound to happen. But I didn't know that. That's funny.
So
wow.
You're a ball magnet.
I guess. Wow, that's funny.
When you look at the game, and obviously it's something you've played probably for about ever, what do you see as your strength in the game and an area that you really feel like you could help this team?
Yeah, I think from like this year to last year, I've worked a ton on my mental game, and I think that's really helped. I feel like I just try to stay positive, and I try to help the younger girls. I know it's hard. I've been in their shoes, and I think I just try to be relatable to the team, and I can help you in this way and this way. And I think I just try to keep an even keel mindset. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. It is what it is. And yeah, I think I can bring that to the team.
You know, with the game of softball, it's obviously a team game, but there's so many individual components to it, especially when you're batting. Nobody else can help you but yourself. And, you know, if you've played a game of baseball or softball long enough, you go through some periods where it's tough to get a hit and some of that. And it's more of a mental thing, right? And you're talking about some of that mental stuff. How do you try to keep yourself focused knowing that you're good enough to get that hit? It just has to come.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing that I really like honed in on this year was just knowing to not like take an at bat off, because mentally I felt like last year I was getting out because I was getting myself out. And this year I think I've taken every bat seriously, but also in my head keeping it light and not so serious. Like it's okay to battle and struggle. And I think just reminding myself that if I keep grinding and keep working, that the game will pay me back somehow. Even if it's going bad, I just keep faith that it will come back to me.
This weekend, final games at home, final games of the regular season. Think about that for a second. What does that mean to you when you hear that and you think about, holy cow, this is just about it?
Yeah, I know. Everyone keeps saying that, and it's crazy because, I mean, we don't play a ton of games at home anyways, just because we only play conference here and we play about 3 home game series. But I don't know. I don't know if it will set in when we're finally, like, being recognized on senior day, because everyone's like, wow, it's like coming to an end. I'm like, is it? Like, I don't know. I don't think it really feels like real, or it hasn't sunk in that like I won't be home at Nygaard anymore. So I don't know. I guess maybe it will hit me on the field, but I'm trying not to think about that too much. Hopefully just get some dubs first.
Get some wins and build some momentum going forward. How important is this weekend for your team just for my momentum's sake and try to feel good going into next week?
Oh, super important. I think last weekend at NDSU was kind of our lull, and that's unfortunate that had to happen at that series, but I'm trying to think, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we're going to get hot at the right time and right towards the end of the season. I think against Kansas City, that's a great time and a great team to do it against, is to get hot and then have that rolling into the conference tournament.
There's a couple of really good teams in this league. You guys have played with everyone in the league at some point. Why do you feel like your team has a chance to go on a special run here and do something special?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, like you said, we can compete with anyone, and we've proven that we can compete with anyone. And I just think, like, our lineup, with having three seniors in our lineup, we have a lot of experience, and our young girls just have a lot of, like, they play carefree and it's fun. So I think if we can just keep playing like that, then we can make a run and go as far as we want to go.
I know you talked about some of the bigger stadiums, but when you look back at it, what memories will stand out for you in your time at USD and your softball playing career?
Yeah, I think, yeah, the stadiums are awesome and that's fun, but I think just travel, like being on the planes and on the buses, even though it's hard and it's a grind, I think the memories and jokes and messing around with you, that you do with your teammates at the hotels, is that's what's going to stick with me the most, and that's what I remember the most, is the inside jokes and stuff, not really the wins or the losses. So, yeah.
If anybody hasn't seen this team play, why should they come out this weekend and see this version of Coyote Softball?
Yeah, I think if you haven't came out, you should definitely come out and see us get the series sweep. Like, we're going for a series sweep, and it's our last time at home, and this is a fun team to watch. When we get hot, like, it's super fun, and we're loud and obnoxious, so I think it'll be fun. Come out if you haven't.
Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That is Riley Jones. She's a softball player for the University of South Dakota, leads the team at hit by pitch. You can see her and the Coyotes in action Friday in a doubleheader against Kansas City. That begins at noon, and then a single game on Saturday to wrap up their three-game series before the Summit League Softball Championship field is set for next week. The women's basketball roster has been in a rebuild. You've seen a number of the signings that have happened for Coach Kerry Amy and her staff, and I had a chance to catch up with Coach Amy and talk to her about this rebuild project for the women's basketball roster and where it currently stands as we get into the summer season.
Coach, we're getting into the month of May here, and that means, you know, before you know it, you'll be into summer workouts with your team. I know it's been a couple of months since the season ended, but people have been paying attention. They can see that you're working on a roster rebuild right now. What have the last month or two been like for you as you tried to, you know, process last season and where you envision the program going?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, right away at the end of a season, you quickly evaluate, especially now with the portal opening up so soon after the season. You know, you're able to evaluate, think about, you know, what does a conference look like? What do you need within the conference to be successful in the Summit League? What does that need to look like, you know? And kind of build a framework in your mind, right? And then try to go build that roster, you know? And we had the flexibility, the spots to be able to go kind of try to you know, just add some pieces that maybe will help us build a team that we feel like can be successful in the Summit League, and also one that maybe characterizes some of those traits that we talked about kind of throughout the season. I'm a big believer in really feeling like defending and rebounding are what kind of are the consistent areas that can kind of help you get to a place where you feel like you can be in the running to win a championship.
When you look at the roster you're starting to put together? And I know there's still some spots that you're probably trying to fill, but you've got a mix of players from Division II schools and Division I schools, and some have 2 years left, some have 1 year left. What do you make of what you're putting together for next season?
For sure. I think one of the things when you're trying to kind of reload as we are, I think experience is important. Having players that have been, at Division I, who've played significant minutes, that's a really valuable thing. You can't teach that. Experience comes from being in those situations and playing in those games. And so that was one of the things that we really tried to key in on is making sure that we were adding some playing experience. The other thing is, I think we have an advantage coming from Division II, understanding, that the level of play in some of those conferences like the NSIC and the MIAA are really high-level basketball. And being able to add players who've been in leagues like that, and who've been able to be productive and show that they can play at that level, those players have also gone on to be successful, Division I basketball players. So, not necessarily scared of Division II because, we've coached at that level. We understand there's a lot of really good players and good teams and good coaches at that level.
It used to be considered maybe rare, but now with the portal world, who knows? You've got a couple of transfers in from teams in the league. So they bring some experience at least understanding the league.
Absolutely. One of the recent commits, Angelina Robles, from Denver, she's a player that, especially in the second half of the season last year, just really, really played well in the league. And, we had to guard her twice, so you when you're in those situations where you're preparing scouts and studying and really, gaining a good understanding of how is this player going to hurt you and what do you have to do to try to eliminate what she does well, those sorts of things. You gain a really good understanding, and you're able to kind of see their play throughout the course of a season, and I think it helps you evaluate whether or not you feel like they can be productive and successful in your system, and obviously you've seen them in the league, so you know that they can play in the league.
When you're working on a rebuild like this, do you kind of have a system where you try to figure out before even offering which kids are going to be kids that are able to make an impact right away? Some of these might be a project a year away type of thing. Others might be role players. Do you have that idea going into it, or is this going to be wide open competition when you get this group together?
I think as recruiters, especially obviously you're trying to win, right? You're trying to build a team that obviously has a chance to win, but also you want those pieces to fit together well. So for us, it's less about, how long is this kid going to take development-wise, and more about, let's try to go get the best players we can find, but that also fit from a mentality standpoint, from a being selfless and wanting to be a great teammate and wanting to be a part of, a good program and those sorts of things. Because if you have those two things, right, you have really good players who are good people and they want to be a part of a great program, the rest of it, that'll all sort itself out. But I think if you get too particular about, just now, especially, I think 5 or 6 years ago, you could sit down and plan out the next 5 or 6 years of recruiting and what you need for each class. And, I think it's so much more fluid now that I don't necessarily think that is a model that you can utilize very effectively now.
A lot of times, as you know, your seasons go and you've got a base of a team set, when you recruit, you bring them in a lot of times to interact with your team and see kind of how they fit together. It's not really an option for you this year. How do you make this all work and fit together and build that chemistry in what will be a relatively short time once this group is together? Because that may be challenge number one.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if you're just adding a couple of pieces, like you said, you already have a pretty full team, and you're trying to fit pieces into that particular group. I think when you have more spots available than that, and you're trying to, and we've done this before, you're trying to create a group that you feel like can have good chemistry. You never can know 100% for sure, but I think you recruit personality. I think you, like I said, recruit mindset. I think we've been pretty successful trying to recruit people that we want to be around, that have similar mindset to us and who want to constantly get better, just have that growth mindset, you know. So you're right. It's a little bit different approach, and I think once you get a few kind of kids committed and then they kind of start talking, I think that definitely helps to be able to start to get a better feel for, you know, the group and kind of what that chemistry is going to be like.
A team bonding event or two will fix that right up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's going to need to be quite a bit of that, in June, in the summer when our players come back.
You start putting together this roster, and obviously, you know, the transfer portal is just a part of our world now, right? But over the last 2.5-3 years, you've had to do a lot with the transfer portal. I'm sure you've learned a lot about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, in the last 3 years, we've done probably and signed as many players as anybody, just based on kind of the circumstances that we've been in. But I think every year it's been different because the rules have changed or the dynamics have changed. You know, for the first year it was kind of a lot of COVID kids, a lot of grad transfers in the portal. The NIL stuff, the collective stuff wasn't near as much of a factor. But each year, you know, the dynamics have changed a little bit more. So we've learned a lot. I think the biggest thing we've learned is just stay true to who you are and, you know, stay true to kind of what you believe is gonna, what kind of people are going to help build a great team. Again, a team that you want to be around, that you want to coach every day, and don't compromise on kind of those things that you really value, because it might take a little bit more time and work in the portal, but, you got to find the right fits. And, I think too, it's really being able to key in on, the players that you really like, the talent, like how they play, but also are they gettable, right? Because sometimes you can spend your time chasing, maybe some players in the portal that, the P4s are snagging up quickly. So it's being able to understand there's a lot of opportunity in the portal. Right, there's lots and lots of, there's over 1,500 players in there, but it's being able to narrow down to maybe those 30 that are really great fits for your program, and locking in and being able to focus your attention and energy on those.
I believe the number is 7 transfers that have been announced so far, and I'm sure you've got others in the works and other things in the works right now. As it sits right now, and I understand this is very fluid, where does your roster sit as far as and how many spots are left, and what's the timeline, I guess, of trying to complete that project, so you can start those summer workouts?
Yeah, for sure. Right now we're sitting at 13 on our roster, and, feel really, really good about that. Feel like we're in a comfortable spot, still looking to to add one or two. So, you know, it's a constant project, right? Like just constantly working to try to make sure that we've got what we need, the pieces, they fit together, those sorts of things. You know, if you look at a lot of the players that we added, there's a lot of familiarity with our staff and with those players in a lot of cases. You know, we've got four kids from Iowa that we've signed. Iowa is a state that we've recruited historically very, very hard. So obviously there's a lot of familiarity with players like Jenna Hopp and Molly Joyce, Alex Flattery, a player we recruited to Kearney, and Katie Ryerson. We played. She was at UNI. We played her this year. So, you know, the familiarity, the as you said before, like having scouted, or, you know, Angie is a player that we scouted a ton. Josie Hill, obviously, her roots are in South Dakota. You know, so obviously, those types of connections, those sorts of things are. Those are helpful in the rebuild. Again, have 13 on the roster. Feel good about those. In addition, the recent additions. In addition to, you know, obviously we have Coral and Liv who already understand what's going on here, have some experience in the league, and then you know, the freshmen coming in, you know, feel really good about them as well.
So what's next? Obviously, you're trying to complete the process of building the roster. Hopefully, you'll get a break at some point. And then I know that you'll have some camps and some summer workouts and things like that as you move forward. And I can tell you, the fans are going to be itching to see a schedule here soon. So how's all that coming together? What's next for you?
Yeah, you're talking about all that stuff making me anxious. I still got a few things to work on, not just recruiting out of the portal. So, no, I mean... you know, wrapping up the kind of the recruiting class, the portal, all those kind of things, obviously you want that to happen as quickly as possible. We feel like we're getting close. We've got a dead period, actually, a recruiting shutdown coming starting next Monday. So, you know, you may or may not be done by then. Obviously, it's a natural break in the schedule for recruiting. So you'd like to feel like you have it, you know, pretty close to wrapped up, you know, and then we'll have a couple of weeks after that shutdown to finalize the roster, but also to prepare for summer workouts, which start June 9th. So we'll go 6 weeks, we'll go 3 weeks in June, take a break over the 4th of July week, and then three more weeks after that, and feel like that's going to be a really, really important 6 weeks for us to kind of get everybody together and really start to work on our chemistry and you know, what we're going to do both offensively and defensively. And you're right, we also throw in some camps there in early June. You know, so there's just always something going on. We've also been, while we're recruiting in the portal, we had the April live period to still be evaluating high school students. There's also a period in May, May 16th through 18th is another evaluation period. So still busy, really busy recruiting high school players here in the spring as well.
We would be remiss not to mention that you did have a coaching staff change and have recently announced an addition to your staff that has not only familiarity in the Summit League, but also in the region with a long time as a head coach up in St. Paul.
Yeah, Paul Fessler is a guy I've known for a really long time. We both were coaching Division II kind of at the same time, and I have a ton of respect for him. He built some great programs at a job that wasn't necessarily easy at the time. He transitioned it from NAIA to D2. You know, made several NCAA tournaments and made some deep runs in those tournaments. He knows what he's doing. He's been a head coach for a long time. You know, he's had a lot of Division I experience. He's been at Bradley and UMKC, so he's familiar with the league. You know, Paul is a guy that is very, very well respected throughout the coaching world. You know, lots of people have complimented me on that. not higher, you know. So he's gonna do a great job. He does a really good job of building rapport and relationships with players, and just brings a positive attitude and a great energy, but also a maturity and that experience, right, is super valuable, and he's seen a lot and been around for a long time, so we're really excited to have him.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time very much. I hope you get a chance to enjoy a little bit of the summer. I know the seasons always come faster and faster, it seems like, every single year, and we'll have fans that will be excited and eager to see what's put together. So thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy your summer.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
That is Kerri Ambe. She is the head women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota, has been working on a big rebuild of the roster for women's basketball, and excited to see this group on the floor next year and how everything comes together for Coach Amy and her staff as well. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. And it is winding down, so not as many events to talk about, but softball's at home this weekend. They'll play two on Friday against Kansas City. It begins at noon. Single game on Saturday that begins at 11 a.m. And the track and field teams will be in action Friday evening and most of the day on Saturday. It's the USD tune-up that is held at Lillibridge Track Complex, so check that out if you're interested. Obviously, the track and field team getting ready to host the Summit League Outdoor Championships. They will also host a meet next Friday. It's the USD Twilight, and then a week later, it'll be the Summit League Championships in Vermilion. For all of that information, you can check out goyotes.com. All right, that's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.